Hey, what's up, folks? Welcome to another Friday Night Live stream. I'm Lifetime Longhorn Rod Davis, joined by fellow Lifetime Longhorns, CJ Vogel and Bobby Burton. And by the way, CJ Vogel, man, he's a hard worker. CJ, I don't even know if you're down to divulge where you are, but CJ, looks like you out amongst the people.
Yeah, I'm tucked in a corner over here at the airport. Of course, all the Texas official visitors are arriving right now. Anytime between 1 to 2:30, basically. So we should be getting a lot of updates. Of course, Jerry Hamilton's out here. He'll be flooding the social medias, Twitter, Instagram, obviously the On Texas Football Board as well, as everybody arrives in. But I'm here to get an idea of who's coming in, when they're arriving, and, of course, relaying that back to y'all.
All right. I saw Matt and Framo already came in, young man out of California. Y'all were at the airport last night when KJ Lacy, the quarterback, came in. You guys already picked up a couple guys and saw him, huh?
Yeah, that's right. And Daniel Earp, I am not in the bathroom stall. Let me be clear. I'm sitting right next to two World War II kind of conventions. But KJ Lacy got in last night. He and his family and his younger brother, they're headed straight to the hotel late last night, obviously beginning their official visit today. There's Madden Ferramo, and again, he's listed right now at 6'3", I believe, 225 to 230. He looks every bit of it. We watched his tape yesterday, and yeah, that's an impressive kid right there. They are going to go drop off their bags, go to lunch, and then head over to the facility around 3:30 or 4 this afternoon. So really impressive. He passes the eye test, I'll say that. Absolutely, 100%.
All right, big recruiting weekend, my man. So CJ ducks out for a second. Don't freak out, folks. He's got stuff he's got going on, man. He's multitasking right now. So we appreciate CJ's his effort. No question about that. All right. You got questions, anything, super chats? You know how that goes. They jump to the front of the line. You can interrupt the show at any time with the super chat. We'll answer as many questions as we can on the Friday Night Live stream. And I do believe I'm a radio guy, so I hate to tease, but I do believe we have a special guest coming on with us later on, Bobby. Is that?
One of the Longhorns' 11 commitments, public commitments at this point, Lance Jackson, the defensive end athlete out of Texarkana Pleasant Grove, will be joining us for the live stream for a little bit. We're going to talk a little Longhorn recruiting with him, what he's been up to this summer, and then maybe ask him what he thinks about the official visit process now that he's been through it, and just to get a little feedback on what he thinks and go from there. He's been on the show before, as well as his high school coach. So we appreciate him joining us again here on Texas Football.
Man, God bless. This is what I love about the On Texas Football family we have here in this community. You guys are so considerate and thoughtful. Now, David Keith Williams, let's start with this question from David Keith Williams in the chat here. He says, Bobby and Rod, and I'm throwing this out to CJ too. I recall hearing Jerry Hamilton comment about Coach Sarkisian likely not taking vacation this summer due to focusing on the upcoming season. Do you think this is a good idea? Guys, actually, this is a smart question. It really is. It's about burnout. And we talk about that schedule for the college coaches being so intimidating and so really just so hectic now that it's actually pushing some coaches who have options to coach in the NFL or coach in college. They're just choosing the NFL. Like, hey, man, it's just an easier job these days. I just can focus on ball. There's a lot going on in college. And now Sark's been asked. I can't think of how many times I've heard Sark talk about the calendar. It's like his number one complaint right now about the current structure or lack thereof of college football, the current framework of it. Bobby, I'll throw it to you first, because I think it's a great question by David Keith Williams. Very considerate, too, because we all need a little vacation, man.
I took a little when I worked in the mornings, but I took the afternoons off last week. Yeah. I was at the golf tournament for the Texas One Fund promotion about a month ago now. And that topic actually came up with Sark. I was like, Sark, what do you like to do? And he goes, he's talking about, you know, golfing and where he was going to go golf and all this other stuff. He says when he gets a chance, he just goes and golfs for a couple hours and gets his mind off of it a little bit. I'm not saying he doesn't appreciate vacations and all this other stuff. I didn't get into this long conversation with him, but I think I get the feeling that that's his way to take his mind off of things for a little bit. You know what I mean? And get, get recharged. I will say this as it relates to vacation. I think we all need them. Some people need them more than others. I mean, that's we're not all built the same. But I also think that he's able to get away a little bit more at odd times as opposed to the summer. Like I traditionally, you know, I grew up in the summer. My parents would want to go on vacation in the summer, et cetera. Yep. That may not be the best time for college coaches to go on vacation. Now, a lot of college coaches will go on vacation starting next week. Next couple of weeks, they'll take a week off after the quiet period or the dead period, start, whatever you want to call it, when kids can't take any more visits, and they'll go hang out. You know, maybe Kyle Flood goes to the Jersey Shore. Maybe Chris Jackson goes to Arizona or California, wherever he, you know, kind of has an extra time and some ties to. Those guys will all go to different places, but vacation can look very different to people. And some people need different levels of it, you know? And so I don't know that what works for me would work for Rod Babers or CJ Vogel. And so I think it's more important. I do think vacation is important and recharging your batteries is important. I think Steve Sarkisian knows himself better than you, me, or David Williams would as far as what he needs, right? I mean, I do agree that vacation is important. What kind of vacation may be different for who you are?
Yeah, I know a lot of ball coaches, and I would say more than half of them get anxious on vacation. The coaches that I know, they get anxious on vacation after probably about a week. It's at that point. That, so you're right about that. It depends on your energy levels and that kind of thing. Johnny says, who wants to check out on Texas to see who might commit? Does Jerry have any of these? We got any outstanding highs? We got any of those floating around?
There's still a few. I'll let CJ comment on that.
Yeah, there's a handful right now. And talking about checking out on Texas football on vacation. I mean, Coach Shipley out in the Bahamas working from vacation yesterday on the winning drive. So that was good to see out there. Of course, we'll see what's coming on this week. I expect a few more after this week. A couple guys keep a close eye on coming in. I believe James Simon and Aiden Anding are getting in the next 5 minutes. So I'll keep y'all updated on that as well.
I love that K-Drag 4 says, Sark goes home to L'Oreal. That is vacation. Oh, well said. L'Oreal gets a shout out in the chat. Love that.
I'm sure that is sometime the case and sometime not the case.
Hey, you know it is. Hey,
like, I've been married 24 years.
That's a great point. That's a good one. Even the most beautiful women out there, trust me, there's some man out there who's tired of
it. I didn't say that.
No, I'm just saying. It's the truth. It says some man out there is complaining about it. Jennifer Lopez is awesome. Ben Affleck still complaining about it. Second time around. You know what I'm saying? It is what it is. All right, let's hit some of these questions here. Justin, thank you very much for the super chat. Really appreciate that. He says, today I turn the big 3-4. Congratulations. So, CJ, you and Jerry relay to some recruits, we need some of those to make it even better than it has been. Hook 'em. Thank you very much, Justin, and happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to your brother.
Thank you for
hanging out with us on your B-Day. We appreciate that. I think everybody's expecting some of those out of this. So silent commitments, is there a number on silent commitments? Do we have a number of what we think, how many of those we think Texas has right now?
Here's what I've been told is there are roughly five, but four that are more solid than the fifth. Does that sound relative? CJ, is that a good way to put it?
A great way.
Yeah. So I think that's what we're waiting on. I mean, some guys say yes, and then, you know, things happen and or they get cold feet, et cetera. It's natural. But what I would say is this also. Is we're entering a time where players already know where they want to go a lot of times, and they're just waiting for their announcements.
Yeah.
Okay. Or they're waiting to even schedule their announcements or what have you. And I think a lot of them want to take visits still and go have that fun. Rod, you've been there. You know what it's like. And so you just have to have some patience it's not always fun to be patient. God knows that. I mean, but at the same time, I think that Steve Sarkisian and his staff are comfortable with, very comfortable with their, where they're at right now in recruiting. It is going extremely well for Texas. If you're just now joining us, Longhorns expecting 18 guys on campus this weekend for official visits. There are seven of those who are commitments at this time. So seven of the 18 committed. That means 11 uncommitted guys. KJ Lacy already in, the quarterback. Then you have guys like Amari Winston expected in. You also have three committed offensive linemen in the Coleman brothers, Jordan and Devin. Then also Jackson Christian will be here. Bo Barnes also expected in town this weekend. That's the linebacker. And then it's going to be an interesting group altogether. A lot of uncommitted players as well. But Texas hosting another marquee weekend. This is the last big recruiting weekend of the June official visit period. This will put over 40 prospects total over the last 3 weeks on campus at the University of Texas. So some dominoes are about ready to fall, in my opinion.
What I love about, we talked to Elijah Bo Barnes the other day on the winning drive. And I'm not sure if the coaches are communicating this or if it's just his pride in his new home at the University of Texas. But he talked a lot about actively recruiting himself. He talked a lot about it on CJ. He was talking about how, oh, no, I got to get this guy. I got this guy. This is a guy I'm trying to get. And we always talk about players being the best recruiters. They are no doubt the best recruiters. But it's actually, I don't know if I've heard a lot about a guy on a recruiting visit. And instead of talking about what he wants to gain from the visit, he's already committed. He's like, no, basically, I'm in the same role as the players who are already on campus right now. I'm in recruiting mode. I'm trying to recruit these guys too. CJ, I thought that was pretty interesting, man, that he had that attitude. But it shows what kind of leader he is too. He was talking about getting guys on for his class and being a leader that way.
Yeah, and that's just the personality that Elijah Barnes is, right? He competes almost, I don't want to say by himself, because I think that he's got a great team, great program in high school right now, but he goes against the Duncanvilles, the Cedar Hills, you know, those DeSotos of the world, where you go up against, you know, 20 to 25 to 30 potential D1 guys in a given season, whereas he's really just that one piece right now.
Yeah.
Sorry, it's a loud airport over here. But that's exactly – he wants to be with the best, right? He wants to attract those big-name guys to play with at the next level. And that's exactly what his mission was. You know, during the spring game, it was Riley Pettijohn. Yesterday, he mentioned Zion Williams as a guy that he's going to say, hey, we need you here. You in front of me on that front seven is going to help us out a ton at the next level. A couple questions I see. Am I sitting in a laboratory? No, I'm not. Am I sitting in a school? I am not, by the way. I'm sitting right outside the baggage claim. James Simon and Aiden Anding just walked down the escalators. They are down here in Austin. They just arrived. Texas personnel are picking them up right now, about to head them on over to the hotel, to campus, get their official visit started. James Simon is joined by his parents this weekend as well. And I saw the question earlier, I forgot who asked it, but was Jamie French expected to arrive with KJ Lacy? The expectation earlier this week was yes. KJ Lacy did arrive last night. Jamie French did not. He's arriving later this afternoon, so no worries. He just had a little pit stop beforehand to get back home from California to make the trip over back to Austin. Of course, he was out at the Elite 11, did not participate in day three of the Elite 11. Went home beforehand, get a little R&R before heading over to Austin. No worries there. He's expected later into that.
All right, thank you for that, CJ. We appreciate it. Before we go on, let's thank one of our fantastic sponsors here for our live stream on Fridays. We're really proud and happy to have South Point Dodge, a part of the Owen Texas football family. So Texas football fans, you know, you can score an easy extra point this season when you get to the point at South Point Dodge. South Point Dodge has over 600 vehicles in stock, folks. That's a lot of vehicles, including a great selection of Ram 1500s, 2500s, and 3,500. That's right, folks. Whatever your truck needs, South Point Dodge is the one-stop shop for you. So, folks, go check it out. You can get to the point at South Point Dodge. South Point Dodge also is Austin's number one automotive everything. And right now, it's a great time for you to shop over 50 Ram 2500s, all marked down with huge savings. So if you're balling the budget, you'll appreciate what they're doing over there at South Point Dodge. South Point Dodge always stocked with a great selection. You can go check them out in person off I-35 in South Austin, or you can go online today at southpointdodge.com. That's southpointdodge.com. Get to the point at South Point Dodge. Now, we appreciate them sponsoring one of our sponsors of the Friday live stream. All right, getting back to the questions here. All right, this is a subject we got to talk about. It's related to, obviously, the Longhorn football program. Oklahoma's coach, Brent Venables, Burnt Orange Horn here says, Coach Burnt Vegetables, guaranteeing Texas's superiority throughout the 2020s. I'm not surprised that they signed Brent Venables. I think they are this is kind of, you know, they want to keep the lineage going of coaches from the Bob Stoops tree, whether that been a Lincoln Riley or Brent Venables. And he signed a new contract with an extension with the Sooners. It's a new deal, totaling, I think, a value of about $51 million total, a new six-year deal on their move to the SEC. What are you guys' thoughts about Brent Venables as a coach? I don't know if we ever really talked about what we think of Brent Venables as a coach. I mean, hey, he's got a win over Texas. And I will say that in that Texas-Oklahoma game, listen, you guys know I call it the way it is. I'm a football investigator. I go where the evidence leads me. And Texas got out-coached in that game. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, that game plan that Oklahoma had was a damn good game plan, offensively and defensively. Hell, and even some of the things he was doing early on to kind of snatch back the momentum in that game, both of them calling special teams exotic plays because they understand it's like a heavyweight fight. You can't let one team monopolize the momentum in a Texas OU game. I thought, you know, he actually bounced back pretty well and figured out what the Texas OU game is all about. Your first Texas OU game is tough. It's for a coach. We've seen coaches in their first Texas OU games struggle a little bit. And even Sark, right? It looked great at first. And then ultimately, boom, that was the implosion in his first Texas OU game. So what are your thoughts? I'll throw it to you first, Bobby. Brent Venables now signed this six-year deal. That's good or bad for Texas?
Man, that's $8.5 million a year, right? Six by 51.
Yeah.
I think that's expensive for his production thus far. I think he's a good coach. I think he's clearly a defensive coach. I'm interested to see exactly what happens this year with this team because it's an odd time to renew him, in my opinion. He had okay first year, not a bad year, but just an okay first year, probably a little disappointing. Second year, better than expected, but not overwhelming. And then this year, you know, I think the marbles are, I think things are lining up against OU a little bit this year. And so to have, you know, what happens if OU goes 6-6 this year? Are they going to be happy to be paying Brent Venables $8.5 million a year? I also thought, and this is just a sidebar to all of this, Rod, the other thing that they put out today, in addition to that comment about the $51 million for 6 years, they also mentioned $51 million for 6 years.
Yeah, 51.
They also mentioned that they're going to have a renewed emphasis on football. And the idea behind it was that it was cloaked as talking about more NIL support.
Gotcha.
Brent Venables.
So okay.
What I think is interesting, and what I'm saying there is, other than Dominic Williams and a couple of defensive linemen over the last couple of years, OU has gotten beat a lot in recruiting. They've gotten a couple guys. Peyton Bowen was one. Billy Bowman, Jackson Arnold, but they've gotten beat on some guys. And I do think that NIL has played a role in that. And so I think that this was the way for some OU bigwigs to kind of shade and provide cover for Brent Venables in two different ways. One, security in his job, because you talked about laying an egg. What, 49-0 is a laying of an egg in his first go against Texas. That's what he did, you know? And so I think that there's that. And then I also think the NIL piece was an important part of that. So give him cover that he's going to, no matter what his output is this year, he's still going to have five more years left. And then beyond that, I think it was a way for them to say, hey, we're going to try to be more competitive in NIL.
CJ, your thoughts about Brent Venables as a coach? You think it's a good thing or a bad thing? He signs a six-year deal for $51 million for Texas fans.
Yeah, off the bat, I think it's I thought it was a little early for a six-year extension. You know, you see 2 years, I understand. You see the progression. You see what you expected of Venables' program to be. Obviously, it helps when you have Billy Bowman, Danny Stutzman, you know, some of those big names returning for 2024. The question is, again, it's not going to be his side of the ball that is concerning. And I think moving forward, if you're Steve Sarkisian, you like the idea of going up against Brent Venables, because at the end of the day, how many coaches can outscore you, right? I think if you look at it, the coaches that pose the biggest threat right now to Texas are the guys that can run and gun with you at any moment. That's Kalen DeBoer, that's Lane Kiffin, I think that's Lincoln Riley if you ever play him again out at USC. Those guys can put up some points. My thing with Venables is I've yet to be convinced that he's found his opposite to play complementary football.
Yeah,
I don't think Jeff Levy was that guy for him. You know, I think they ran too much. They were too quick with the way that they ran their offense. I don't think that necessarily complemented the way that he likes to play defense and the way that his offense is supposed to help it out in terms of time off the field for his defense to rest and kind of chew up some clock a little bit offensively. He likes that run and gun, that quick get down the field, scoring three plays kind of way. Offense, but I don't think that suits what he wants to do, and especially with the way that SEC football is moving, with offenses scoring 40 points more than they ever have before, is that the kind of style of play that will contend to a 10-win team, you know, year in and year out? I just don't see what he's doing right now as a long-term fit for what he does defensively or the spot. I thought what he did at Clemson, obviously, it fit. They weren't trying to score in three plays or under. That's exactly what they tried to do under Levy. That's exactly what they're trying to do this year with Arnold and those wide receivers. So I think the verdict's still out for what Venables will do. This is going to be a very important year because you won't have a six-year quarterback leading the way with an offensive line that has multiple guys heading to the NFL after a year. So I think it is just a bit early for me to truly get on board with it being a great extension for Oklahoma.
I love what you said about him not finding his counterpart, because I think Lincoln Riley's got the same issue, except not finding the defensive counterpart for him. He struggled with that. Yeah, you know? It's interesting.
Hey, Rod, real quick. You know, I do think if I'm a Texas fan, I'm okay with him getting an extension. Like I'm that doesn't bother me at all. It's not like they just locked in a great. I don't see him as the next great college football coach.
Yeah, I'm with you, Bobby. I agree.
Yeah, the thing that I would add, Seth Luttrell's the new offensive coordinator there, Rod.
Mm-hmm.
And to CJ's point, he is from the Mark Mangino tree. Y'all remember Mark? He was the head coach of Kansas, but before that, he was the offensive coordinator at OU that followed up. Mike Leach. Yeah, and so Seth Luttrell's got some Mark Mangino, Kevin Wilson ties. So he will run it a little bit more and be more consistent with the run, I think, to CJ's part. So I do think that they may fit better together going forward as a complementary. But I don't know if Seth Luttrell's as good as Mark Mangino was, right? I mean, I don't know, or Lincoln Riley or some of the other offensive coordinators have been through there. Kevin Wilson, another one. So we'll see if he's as good as that. Obviously, Luttrell was the head coach at North Texas before going back to his alma mater at OU as an assistant.
Man, don't forget about that. The first Kansas turnaround was the Mangino turnaround.
Yep.
He was a hell of a coach during that time period, man. It's tough to turn around Kansas anytime. Lance Leopold's doing a hell of a job. But we forget, man, that time he had Kansas one of the best football programs in the country and had it rolling and brought in that offense. Like you said, that air raid offense that he ran. But he was kind of a run-oriented version of a run-centric version of that air raid. All right, good stuff there, guys. Get back to some of the
questions. Real quick, Rod, there's another point I wanted to bring up about this. Yeah. Casey, you're absolutely right. Mark Sun is the offensive coordinator at Lake Travis. That's Tommy Mangino. He's down at Lake Travis right now. They have a couple of really good defensive line prospects down there. But to the point, Oklahoma also kind of toes the line between just the blind loyalty to program guys versus making the right program decision in finding a replacement if needed to. Of course, you look at the last couple of years of Lincoln's tenure, they have multiple guys in their secondary staff who, you know, hadn't either played at Oklahoma, had coached at Oklahoma under Stoops, and just kind of had tenured all the way through. DeMarco Murray's a guy right now who I know they just got Taylor Tatum, a big guy, but hey, they didn't have anybody over 400 yards rushing a year ago. He didn't win on any of his 2023 recruiting battles. It kind of poses the question whether or not Oklahoma just has that blind loyalty to the program guys versus guys who can get the job done. You can kind of sever the head of the snake and find the next replacement. I think right now that's going to be tested with this extension a little bit. That was one of the conversations I used to have when I covered Oklahoma, is whether or not they're the best fit for the program or they're just great program guys that will represent the program but maybe not get the results that they wanted.
Yeah. Yeah, big. It's a big year, actually. I heard you talking about this, Bobby, for Texas, for Sark and Texas OU. You can't, you know, you won't have a winning record or at least beat 500 versus Oklahoma. And big year, especially considering everything Oklahoma has to replace. And a lot of Longhorn fans, they do feel good about Venables being the long-term coach, head coach of the Oklahoma program. All right, getting back to some of the questions here. How about this one from John Haney? No surprise visitors this weekend? Are there any surprise visitors? That's why CJ is where he's at right now. He'll let y'all know that.
We might hear from Jerry Hamilton here in a little bit. Of course, these guys are all filtering in. We just saw James Simon, Aiden Anning both arrived from their Shreveport flight. Excuse me. We've gone down the list of who might be surprise visitors. So far, no confirmations. But you never know. It's the final weekend of the month of June, which means it's the final opportunity for summer official visits. We know how important these are for the Texas staff to get these guys down to campus. I'm not you know, completely ruling it out, but right now, no one confirmed at the moment.
All right, appreciate that, CJ. How about this one from KDrag4? He wants to know how many of Texas' three stars that he honestly feel like will be receiving bumps in ratings. How many of our three stars?
Let me look, Rod, and see who all is ranked that way. You know, I don't pay attention to other people's rankings that much. Look, I used to do that for a living. That was my job. So it's kind of funny that I don't really even think about it anymore, because the reason why is I know whether or not these are guys that Texas wanted. And that, to me, is ultimately more important. The priority they put on guys, because staff's no more than industry experts, in my opinion. I'm looking at three stars, and this is according to 24/7 Sports. This is the first one that came up. I should have given you On Threes as well. Those are the two best services, in my opinion. Jordan Coleman is currently a three star. Okay, so Jordan Coleman is 6'5", 350. Okay. He's an offensive lineman that had offers from just about every school in the country. Okay. 6'5", 350, Cedar Hill. I don't care what he's ranked. He's not a three-star, if there is such a thing, right? Ricky Stewart rushed for 2,000-plus yards last year. Top running back in Texas, according to the University of Texas. Now, I know some ranking services may have other people ranked ahead of Ricky Stewart in the state of Texas. But Tashard Choice went after one running back in the state of Texas, and that was Ricky Stewart. So you can say what you want. Is he a three? Is a top running back in the state of Texas a three-star? I don't know. Here's another one that's rated a three-star according to 24/7. How about Brandon Brown?
Wow.
The defensive lineman out of Ogallala, Florida.
That's crazy.
Okay. That guy's got offers from, I don't know, every school in the state of Florida, Alabama, Tennessee, Georgia, Texas, Texas A&M, USC, Oklahoma, waiting to get him on campus even, right? But he is currently ranked, I don't know, he's the third lowest ranked commitment for the University of Texas out of 11. That's just not true. I mean, and so I don't know who's going to get a bump. I don't follow that kind of stuff. I understand the importance of it in some ways because that's how you track national team recruiting rankings. Mm. But I really follow – look, Caleb Chester is a three-star. Okay, oh, he's a 6'1", 170 corner that runs well enough and has long arms.
I'll vouch for Caleb Chester.
Yeah, exactly, and that's what I'm saying. And you just heard him talk on here, Rod. You talk with him, and you understand that he gets ball, you know. And he chose Texas over LSU, A&M, et cetera, you know. That's not a three-star. So Texas doesn't really recruit three-stars. They just don't. Now, they may end up being three-stars because it is literally a beauty contest at that level. But I don't see it that way. Aiden Anding, let's go. Aiden Anding's a perfect example. This is a perfect example of your typical three-star. He's All-State in football. He's All-State in basketball. This is not small school either. Ruston's the largest classification in state Louisiana. All-State in football, All-State in basketball, and he qualified for the state meet and track. That sounds like your typical three-star to me. You're All-State in three sports in high school. I mean,
I'd argue that's not too bad.
So I don't care where they're rated,
yeah,
as much as some people do. I definitely understand people follow rankings and it's fun, but the truth be told, how schools and especially how Texas sees them has been proven out to be actually better than how some folks have been seeing Texas or viewing Texas of late. It used to be the opposite direction. Texas players were overranked, in my opinion. Of late, in the last 5 years, Texas players have been underranked, typically.
And to the comments going right now, Jalen Ford was the lowest recruit in Texas's, what was it, the 2020 class, I believe? So
That
certainly helps now that you have, you know, confidence at, you know, positions across the field right now to develop these guys into what we saw being, you know, 11 draft picks a year ago.
Any recruiting service that ranks Brandon Brown anywhere lower than the 150 or 200 in the nation is not a recruiting service I can take seriously. I do know the recruiting. Don't they evolve these ratings? They, you know, they update them and stuff that. So, yeah, I mean, none of the ratings are necessarily final right now. So I get that. And I've studied some of the ratings. They are getting more and more accurate in terms of their ability to predict and project NFL talent. I don't know about anything else, but. So the ratings are what they are. You can kind of take them with a grain of salt. Take them like a Pro Football Focus rating. You take all those with a grain of salt, man.
Hey, here is a great example. We're talking about beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Okay. There was the Elite 11 quarterback camp this week. Okay. KJ Lacy, the Texas quarterback, was there. He did not win the event, quote unquote. There were two services that were there, On Three as well as 24/7. Well, also, the Elite 11 program people were there, obviously. They're the ones that actually oversaw every bit of the camp. And they put out a final ranking. And their ranking was Keelan Russell out of Duncanville being the MVP. Well, guess what? 24/7 and On Three both had two other kids as the top guy at camp. Everybody was watching the same footage, looking at the same players on the same field. And all three of them came up with different winners.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, there's a level there where you would expect some consistency. Like, oh, everybody had Peyton Manning number one, or everybody had, I guess, Caleb Williams number one, or whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess there wasn't a true number one there because they weren't actually in agreement. You know, there's no agreement there. I mean, so. You know, what have you. It's interesting to me how it has evolved. I do think it's evolved because they're paying closer attention, Rod, to hard data now more than ever.
Yep.
Speed on the track, you know, consistency and production in high school. And those things matter, but I think it's far from perfect no matter what you do.
Hey, the NFL is a, what, $17 billion a year business, and they can't get it right either. A third of all the rosters are undrafted free agents, people. So that's just it's a real tough thing to do, to be able to project talent. All right, getting back. Oh, you know what? Before we do that, before we get back to the questions here, let me thank one of our sponsors once again. Really excited, of course, about Flat Creek Estate being a part of the Owen Texas football family. Got a chance to visit Flat Creek Estate, and it is a gorgeous venue, folks. So if you are in the mood for a little vacation, a little getaway, or maybe great date night, it is a fantastic place. Trust me on that. If you also like great wine, it's also home of one of the most awarded wines in Texas, and that actually is their Super Texan wine. That's right, folks. Flat Creek Estate, just minutes away from downtown Austin, and they've won award after award for their vintage wine, Super Texan. It's one of my favorites. My wife enjoys it as well. It's now available at your local Specs, so give it a try. Of course, Flat Creek is also a gorgeous venue for barbecues and wine tastings every single weekend. It's a perfect for the date with your significant other, or just a weekend getaway with your significant other. Go check them out online at flatcreekestate.com. That's flatcreekestate.com, or you can visit them, trust me, on your own. It is worth the trip, and it's a short trip out to Flat Creek Estate to enjoy some of their great wine and that beautiful venue. Thank you very much to Flat Creek Estate Winery.
I had some of that Super Texan last night, Rod.
It's good. It's good. Yeah, yep. It is, man. And I would recommend also, just throwing it out there, their rosé is fantastic during the summer when it's hot. You want something a little lighter? Me and wifey, we are basically, the rosé and the Super Texan are our two top choices. And we
there you recommend. Go.
It's great.
There you go.
All right, let's get back to the questions here, gentlemen. In context, I want to say sorry if you guys covered this earlier, missed this morning, but Guillory decommit, is that a big hurt? The Racine Guillory decommitment.
At this point in the cycle, probably not. No, it probably not at this point in the cycle. I asked Racine if he had contacted Diabel after the commitment. He said no. Obviously, it felt like the writing was on the wall in that recruitment just a little bit. Tweeted out about a month ago, top seven is coming. It's like, wait a minute, you're committed, right? And then, what was it, 1:30 in the morning, two nights ago, he tweets out who can make a commitment graphic. Also a bit surprising considering, again, he was committed at the time. I think this is one where two factors are at play. One, Texas has continued to recruit the 2026 running back position regardless of the commitment. That's Tre'Davious Ball, that's KJ Edwards, Javion Osborne. I mean, there's a number of really talented in-state 2026 running backs that Texas is offered after right now. Keelan Chavies is another one from Hutto, one right down the road. Isaiah Young now down at San Marcos. A lot of really talented running backs in the state of Texas. Texas has yet to really pursue Davion Gross at a Lone Star in Frisco. I chatted with him early June. He basically said, I have not yet heard from Texas. Don't have any plans to get down to Texas. I know he's one of the early, highly rated running backs in the state for 2026. But, hey, running back's not a position you need to worry about at the University of Texas. If Tashard Choice and Steve Sarkisian have proven anything during their time at Texas, that position's going to be just fine. And then the other thing I wanted to mention is we'll see exactly when and how Racine Guillory gets to full speed. Again, he kind of dinged up his knee late in 2023. He's been hobbled just a little bit, working to get all the way back to speed. He wasn't able to participate in the spring track season. So I know Texas likes speed. If there's a hobbled wheel, I'm sure they'll be looking to swap that out at some point.
All right, good stuff there, CJ. Appreciate that. All right, getting back to the questions here. How about this one? Living rent-free in UT. Says for guys who canceled their officials, Lowe, Armstrong, Matai, could they reschedule for an in-season game if things went bad at their current situations?
Yeah. I mean, the answer is obviously yes, they could. Armstrong in particular is one I would probably look for, to be fair. And that's not necessarily because things might go bad at A&M. I mean, he's from the same high school as Ty'Anthony Smith, and Ty'Anthony Smith did the exact same thing last year. Mm-hmm. Canceled his visit to Texas but then ended up signing with Texas, you know, after switching late in the process. So that's one. The other two, Hayden Lowe and Mattai, are both players out in the West Coast that have committed to USC. So that's a little bit different. I mean, Keody Armstrong's a tight end from Jasper. Hayden Lowe and Mattai are from California, Southern California. So I feel like that might be a little different. But, you know, Texas did go out and get Aaron Butler last year late in the process from Calabasas, California as well. So it's not out of the question. I don't know if those are the only three guys. There might be other guys. I mean, Jerry and CJ have talked about this, but there are other guys Texas is looking at. Dallas Wilson out of Tampa Tech is one of those, the wide receiver that was expected to be in on unofficial. I mean, he might come in later in the year. You just never know where things go at different positions and at which times. Texas does a good job, though. I will say this, Rod and CJ, I think they do a very good job of being thorough and staying on the elite guys. So if there is an opening and they sense an opening or get a feel for an opening, they will try to pry it open. They did that with Xavier Filsimi last year too. That's a perfect example, in my opinion, a guy that was committed to Florida, then backed off and went to Texas. When Florida's season went south and they fired the DB coach. So we'll see where it goes. But I think that Texas is in good situation right now recruiting. Really, really good situation.
On Hayden Lowe and Mattai Tagoe, Jerry Hamilton and I both discussed them possibly being surprise guys. Obviously, they're both committed to USC. Kind of thinking out loud in that sense of if there were anyone to surprise as official visitors this week, those would be two that Texas would sneak under the radar into Austin. Has yet to happen. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but certainly top of the list in terms of candidates for who could be, you know, late season, you know, guys Texas circles back around for.
Okay. It's interesting right now. Texas, you talk about Togai as a linebacker. Texas only invited in five linebackers total, and four of them are visiting for sure. Last week, you had Jonathan Cunningham and Riley Pettijohn, two in-state guys. One from Pettijohn from McKinney, Cunningham from North Crowley, and then this weekend they had Madden Framo, who we mentioned earlier from Southern California, as well as Bo Barnes. So Johnny Nansen, he's not going very far down the list for his guys. I mean, that's, you want to get two to three, maybe sign three, and you're only bringing in four for official visits. You're pretty confident coach right now in your recruitment. You're recruiting. Those numbers typically don't work. But I feel like he thinks he's got a chance. So we'll see how that goes.
Something also that we talked to Elijah Bo Barnes about, and he raved about Johnny Nansen and talked about how they talk ball when they get together, a lot of X's and O's. And so he's a big fan of Johnny Nansen. So, yeah, it's a high hit rate, but Johnny Nansen so far has been really impressive. I mean, it seems like we hear something new about Johnny. I heard that I was talking to Silas Bowden on Third and Longhorn, and Silas Bowden told us, oh, Johnny Nansen's the one that recommended to the Texas coaches that they recruit me because of what he saw in the Pac-12. And I'm like, man, Johnny Nansen is just his fingerprints are everywhere right now in the office. He just got here.
Rod, not just him, not just Silas Bolden, but Javion Cole, the cornerback.
Yeah.
Dijon Lee, the midweek visit from Mission Viejo, yeah. Contacted by, he's a cornerback. Contacted by Johnny Nansen, and then all three defensive linemen in the portal from Johnny Nansen.
Here's a new one.
Wow.
Here's a new one, and I've yet to really confirm it. However, Johnny Nansen was at UCLA a couple of years ago when there was a very special softball pitcher, AP number one pitcher in the world. Well, her younger brother just arrived at the Austin airport few minutes ago. That's Man Ferreira. His older sister was an AP first team All-American pitcher a few years ago at UCLA. Yes, he was on staff at UCLA as well, Johnny Nansen. So I would think someone was in his ear a little bit about, you know, little brother's got some football talent. Of course, he arrived just now. Also, by the way, Devin Williams, the Auburn commit out of Buford, Georgia, just arrived as well. So Texas is starting to get these guys filing in as you know, the day continues.
Oh, nice little nugget there, CJ. Yeah, we can make, if we end up making that connection and confirming it, we got to get Johnny Nansen some kind of off-season award, man, for his impact early on. All right, getting back to the questions here, guys. I don't know if I get this name right or right. Chase says, or asks, I should say, are we already out on Davion Gross out of Lone Star High? Did I get the name correct? Is that the?
Yeah, that's the running back you were talking about earlier, right, CJ?
Yeah, that's the guy at Frisco Lone Star. Again, I talked to him early June. He told me he didn't have any plans to visit Texas for the month of June. Said he hopes communication, you know, increases down the road, hopes to get down to see the campus. But so far, no plans. Again, I think Texas likes Javion Osborne, Tre'Darrion Ball, KJ Edwards. Those are probably the guys I would, you know, look to see some movement from in the class of 2026.
Speaking of Johnny Nansen, this is a question I think is related. Brandon Huey asks, Bobby, why are kids from the Poly community apt to go to schools like Notre Dame, SC, or BYU? How can Texas overcome that?
Well, Notre Dame and BYU are religious affiliations. There is a huge Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints connection in the Polynesian community, period. Okay. So that's one of them. That's one of the reasons why you'll also see a big influx in the state of Utah that have moved there because of that. So that's one. Notre Dame, again, religious, very family oriented, et cetera. At least it's supposed to be, right? SC is more proximity, and that's where guys like Troy Polamalu went. You know, that's one of the hero. That's one of the hero, Junior Seau.
Yep,
those are the guys, right? That you, if you think of the first Polynesians ever that were tremendous players, those are probably two of the names. And so those are the three. But it's changed. I think things have changed. We know that there's a situation where, and Dwayne Aquina, who is Polynesian, by the way, you know that, Roddy's from Hawaii originally. He told me this long ago. I was like, why doesn't Texas do more in the state of Hawaii or with the Polynesian community? He told me that, look, you have to really have the culture around them to attract them in large numbers. You might get one or two, but if you really want to do it, you got to do it right. You got to surround them, and there has to be a community there for them. So when Texas goes out and gets Leonga Lafau or Jermaine Lole or Tia Savea, like they had when they had Junior Angelau as well, those sorts of numbers start adding up, and it kind of builds on itself. That's what Aquina Dwayne told me personally. You know, this is 15 years ago when I asked him this question, because he could have went back to Hawaii and recruited any number of players because that's where he was from originally. And he said, look, it's a little different. He said, we did it at Arizona successfully. And they did. That's one of the reasons. In my opinion.
No, it's good stuff there. Appreciate the question there. All right. Getting back to, we got a couple other questions, I think, here. Garrick Howell, 5-star, wants to know, who are the 2025 kicker punter targets in this recruiting cycle? Oh, man, you're getting deep into the weeds in recruiting. I don't even know if we've done research on kicker punter targets in the 2025 class.
There's one name for the punting spot. That's Brian BJ Mays out of Houston, Humble Slumber Creek. He was on campus for the specialist camp earlier in June, actually was named MVP. From the punting section, says he's been in contact with Jeff Banks pretty often throughout the summer. Also, the next day, went down to College Station and won the MVP of the Texas A&M specialist camp. So, got a big leg on him. I'm not sure if an offer's in store. I'm not sure right now if that's the guy, but he's probably the one right now I would keep the closest eye on based off of my communication with him and some conversations that he's had with Jeff Banks. So, he's probably the one guy I would look at from the kicker punter spot at the moment.
Hey, Rod, I think we may be getting our guest in here in a second. Lance Jackson will be joining us, we believe. But before we do that, I want to say thank you to one of our sponsors. That's Laura Baker at Andy Allen, the Andy Allen team at Keller Williams Realty. She's got two open houses for folks in Austin this week. One over in Southwest Austin on Saturday from 1 to 3. 833-8332 La Plata Loop. Make sure you check that out if you get a chance as well, and get that going. And then on Sunday over in West Austin, she also has one, 4209 House of York. Laura Baker with Keller Williams and the Andy Allen team. Make sure you say we said hi if you drop by and see one of those open houses in Austin and looking around. All right, let's welcome him in, Rod. You ready?
Oh, we are pleased to be joined by one of the Longhorn commits in his 2025 class, Lance Jackson out of Texarkana. What's going on, Lance? Hook him. Thank you for joining us, brother.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it.
Okay, my first question, Lance, is exactly what size are you now? Because apparently you just keep growing every time people see you. And did you have a growth spurt or several? Or are you always been kind of gradually trending toward being this large?
I've always been pretty big. Just my weight fluctuates a bunch. I can kind of do whatever I want with it. So, like, wow. During the season, I can lose, like, 10 pounds in a week. It's crazy. So, it's really just whatever I want to do at the time. So, I ended the season at 235, I think. Started at 245. And now I'm up to 270. So, I'm 6'6", 270 right now. But I'll probably play around 260, 255, somewhere around there, trying to just cut a bunch of fat right now and get more lean.
Lance, I don't know how many people in the chat heard you say that and just groaned at being able to lose 10 pounds as effortlessly as that. But first off, thanks for joining us again. Before we get into anything football, I want to ask you, because I know you're a big baseball guy. We talked about this the other day after your official visit. Tell us how the season went. I know you're still pumping, mid-90s on the hill. How'd that go down this year?
The season went pretty good. My season got ended early from an injury at the Under Armour camp, but we made it into the fourth round, lost out, and then another team in our district was able to win state. But we did pretty good, just couldn't finish.
Lance, I appreciate you joining us, buddy. We got to ask you, it's recruiting time for football fans. This time of year has been when everybody takes their official visits and you end up making a decision sooner or later. You actually took a different route. You committed fairly early in the process. So you put on the hat of recruiter of late and actually been trying to convince others to come to Texas. What do you think about that? And how did you enjoy your visit to Austin last weekend?
I enjoyed my visit a lot. I mean, I don't really see how other schools can compete with it. I mean, I don't know because I don't go to other visits, but I mean, it's just crazy how much opportunities everybody can get. And then on the recruiting side, I had a good relationship over on the visit with Nick Brooks and Marco Jones mainly. And then also Smith Orogbo, because we had like the same co-host. So yeah, it was cool talking with them and getting a better relationship with them. And obviously Riley Pettijohn too.
Who was your host on your visit?
My host was Baron, but then I also, with Zena, co-hosted me and Smith. So I basically two hosts.
So Baron Sorrell and Zena Umeo Zulu. That's good stuff, man. What did you enjoy the most out of the weekend in Austin?
What I enjoyed the most is probably being with the players. I mean, I thought it was really cool just being able to ask them questions where I'm going to be at next year. Like, they're already going through it, so just being able to ask them whatever I want, then also just getting to hang out with them outside of talking about football and all that type of stuff. So I feel like that was one of the biggest parts for me that I like.
Have you decided whether you're going to be a midtermer yet or not?
I'll come in early January.
Yeah, that's going to be a conversation topic too, I'm sure, because you're going to try to figure out, hey, we got to start college together with some of these guys as well, right?
Yes, sir.
Hey, Lance, I want to ask you, have you talked to the coaches about how they visualize utilizing your skill set and your size? Have they shared their vision with you about your skill set?
Yeah, so they told me I can really play anywhere. So, like, I mean, I even asked the players about that. It's like, yeah, they have all the different positions, but they rotate so much. So it's really just have to learn to play everything. I mean, I can go to D tackle if I want to. I'll drop in coverage. So I'm kind of going in open to everything, just learning everything.
Lance, I got a question for you, and it's more so for your parents, because obviously your brother's at Arkansas, and you're going to be headed to Texas. Are they thrilled that y'all won't be overlapping, or they, you know, they don't have to have the house completely divided? They can kind of pivot from Arkansas to Texas. At the same time, how fun would it have been to get to line up against your brother and kind of, you know, have those bragging rights moving forward?
Yeah, it would have been pretty cool, but I mean, he gets to go on and do bigger things. So, I mean, it would have been really cool to be able to be across the field from him, because I never got to do that because he's 5 years older than me. So,
hey, Lance, I got to ask you, what's your workout for this summer? What are you working on? Anything in particular? But give us a sense of what your day looks like right now from even a workout perspective.
So my day, I usually wake up at 5 a.m. to go to – we have this trainer called Walker, Lucas Walker. He played in the XFL and played with the Cowboys for a little bit, but he's back in town. So I'll wake up and go to him with my mom in the morning at 5:45, most of the time 2 or 3 days a week. And then I'll come home, eat a breakfast, and then I'll go to summer workouts with my team, and we'll be out there till around 12. And then it's really just depending on what else I have to do. Some days I'll work after that or just whatever.
Where do you work? Where do you work?
Most of the time, I don't work at a certain place. I'll just do like wood split with my stepdad or something like that just to make sure.
Yeah, you're cutting wood to sell to barbecue restaurants. That's what you do. I get to smoke it with something.
Hey, Lance, I've watched your film, man, and you are obviously you're a specimen on the defensive side of the ball, but you also are a great offensive player in high school at the tight end position. What are you going to miss most about playing tight end since your days on offense are done, I assume?
Yeah, I mean, probably just getting to score. I mean, that's fun. I mean, offense is always fun getting to score a touchdown, but – I mean, also, when I get to college, I'm always open to play both sides. So it doesn't matter to me. If they ask me to go play tight end the first day I got there, I wouldn't have a problem with
it. Hey, Lance, you know they had that big boy package last year where Devondre Sweat was out. Bash, we had two defensive linemen score touchdowns, right? Byron Murphy and Devondre Sweat. Hey, they open to it now.
Yeah, on my official visit, the quarterback coach was actually talking to me about some packages.
Hey, I like that. I like
that. Well, Lance, I've got one more for you before we let you go. We talked to Elijah Barnes yesterday. He said the big guy that he'll be working on this weekend, Zion Williams. Of course, that's another Beast Texas kid. Is there anybody that you have your eyes on in terms of Texas going out recruiting? Maybe, you know, you being a little, you know, ace up the sleeve for the Longhorns to help recruit as well?
I mean, Zion Williams and also DJ Sanders, too. I mean, I feel like he's kind of a diamond in the rough type dude. So, I mean, I feel like he'll be a good get if we can get him. Then also Jamie French also. I mean, he's another good receiver. I mean, I feel like we're doing pretty good with DeCorian right now. So it'd just be cool to get all of them. And then hopefully Riley Pettijohn, too. I've been recruiting him for a while.
Good stuff. Those are big names. Hey, Lance, thanks for taking some time, man. Good luck at those 5:40 a.m. workouts, dude. Yes, sir. I don't know if C.J. Vogel is going to be getting that up that early.
I might be going to bed at that time.
Hey, Lance, hook him, buddy.
Yes, sir. Hook
him. You have a good one, man. Good stuff. Wow. Hey, C.J., okay. I know you got to get going, buddy. You got stuff you got happening at the airport right now. Appreciate you joining us and being here. Good luck, and make sure you update the message board so everybody gets the info right when it happens, if you don't mind.
That's right. Jerry Hamilton and I will be keeping on Texas football. We got our live thread going for the official visit weekend. I think we're up to, about 7 pages of comments. So come check them out. Come get updated. Jamie French just arrived, for everybody wondering. He is on campus, just arrived here in Austin at the airport. So we got a 3 or 4 remaining, and I'm going to go give Jerry a break so he can get some snacks, some water, and get this thing going. But come join us on the community. And we'll get it all going. Have a good weekend.
Hook him, CJ. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, no, CJ's working hard for the people, man. Appreciate CJ and all his hard. He's one of the hardest workers I know, man. I'm glad he's a part of the On Texas team. Y'all are lucky that he's a part of the On Texas team. All right, we know we're getting close in here. Just about a couple of the nuggets that we learned just talking to Lance Jackson there. First of all, isn't it freaky how his weight can fluctuate like that? This young man just said he can lose 10 pounds in a week if he needs to. I think he said he's at the 270 now. He wants to play at, what he said, around 250, 260. He said during the season he was playing at 235, I believe.
It's a big kid, Rod.
And now he's
at only people that can do that. The only people that really can do that, and I'm not sure 10 pounds is legit, it are really big kid, really naturally big people. Does that make sense to you? Like, for you, that would be 2 to 3 pounds in a week would be huge, right?
Yeah. No, he's
naturally big people can do that. And he may end up being, people don't realize, that guy may end up being 285, 290.
That's what I'm saying. He actually, yeah, the way he carries this 270, I'm like, I think he could add 15, 20, and it wouldn't necessarily hurt him. I love that the coaches are talking about playing him in multiple shades, though. That may have been the best nugget that he gave us. A guy with that kind of size, with that kind of agility, with that type of athleticism, man, don't pigeonhole him. You can move that guy around the front, multiple shades. He even said they talk about dropping him back. Not bad. If he gets 280, they're not going to be 290. They're not going to be dropping him back. But I can imagine them moving him into inside. We talked about these different NASCAR packages at times. That's a guy that can play outside, but I think you may move him inside. I always figured Alfred Collins was one of those guys, too, that should have been able to move around the front, play multiple shades. So I'm glad that's something that they're at least entertaining.
I love it too, because it gives your defense versatility.
Yep.
I mean, if you could play the guy at edge on first down and then move him into tackle or inside on third down or second down, it just gives you, especially when offenses try to go fast on you. That's another thing. Yes. I mean, it's easier to take one guy off and add a DB, right? As opposed to run two. A defensive lineman on and a defensive lineman off. That's one of the things that coaches talk about nowadays. They don't want to run lineman for lineman because the snap, could be.
Good point. Yeah. You wear them out.
Now that they've delayed the snap, it's a little bit different, but still it's something to consider.
All right. Now we got a couple more questions. I know we're getting close to the end of the live stream here. So I'll try to get in as many questions as we can. Justin wants to know, and I'm not sure about this either, when does training camp start? I'll admit, Justin, I haven't done the research on that one.
I don't know that they've come up with the exact date yet. Nobody's told me. It's either late July. They usually report officially late July. Begin practice first week of August. Now, I think, 25 days before the first game? It's late July, early August is when they actually report.
Okay. All we know is it's going to be hot. It's going to be real hot. That's what we know, guys.
Well, hey, I will say this. From another difference between when you were around, Rod, and today is the coaches can work with players on the field now.
Yeah, and the offseason. So
in reality, in some ways, training camp has already started.
Great point.
But coaches are already working with players on a weekly basis and daily basis. Now, the pads can't come on, which is what I assumed you meant by training camp. Mm-hmm. The pads can't come on until late July, early August.
Yeah. No, but that's a great – I forgot all about that. But, man, I can't imagine how Coach Aquino would be if he actually could have worked with us in the offseason. Those have been some pretty intense offseasons, man, with Coach Aquino. Jay Lee says, I feel like Jerry alluded to it, if not outright said it this morning, but are we completely out on Kiadi Armstrong?
Well, he's not visiting this weekend, and so there was a time when they were completely out on others. I'll just put it that way. So let's see if that sticks long-term. The commitment is just relatively fresh, 1 week old to A&M, so we'll see. Texas certainly has prioritized, though. I will add this. They prioritized Nick Townsend, who's coming in with, I think, his mother, father, brother, and sister.
Stud.
From spring. Stud. You liked him?
Oh, yeah. Love him, man.
Yeah, yeah, you see the same thing I do. He's a big kid, big physical kid that can run, that not only can he run and play through contact and still stay balanced. Yeah, I agree with you. Right, I talk about Nick Townsend is one of the top 10 players in the state of Texas, regardless of position. Like, he doesn't play a premium position, right? Yeah. He's a tight end. So if you're doing a draft of all the top players in the country, there's not going to be a tight end that goes in the top 10. You start talking about the best football players, though, it's a different conversation, right? Mm-hmm. And that's where I come out with Nick Townsend.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Good stuff there. All right. I know before we get out of here, you probably want to give the folks recruiting nuggets and let them know exactly what we got on Texas football coming up this weekend, because we are loaded. We got you covered.
Yeah, absolutely. I think CJ and Rod are going to do another video this afternoon after everybody gets into town to keep everybody updated, make sure they know what's going on. Also, check out ontexasfootball.com. Right now we have a special $20 off an annual subscription. If you use the promo code OTFOG, that's promo code OTFOG, and you get it for $39.95 a year, usually $59.95 a year. But for those people that listen on here, they get a $20 off subscription to ontexasfootball.com. Also, Rod, we've got conversations tomorrow with Blake Lawrence, the head of Open Doors, which is singular force in NIL in some respects, the number one provider of that to Texas athletes. So I talked with the CEO of that company, as well as recruiting updates galore all weekend. You and CJ, I think, are also previewing the third game of the year. So you guys are doing that as well this weekend. So we got a lot of stuff in store for folks.
Yep.
Hopefully you have some commitments too.
Look out for those too. They'll be anytime you see some of those from Jerry. All right. Well, thank you very much to you guys for all of your participation on the show today on the live stream. Thank you to Matthew behind the scenes, who always does a great job. He's a real MVP. Thank you to CJ working hard. I mean, CJ was here tucked in a corner at the airport, probably looked suspicious to a lot of folks, but he put in work, and we appreciate CJ. Appreciate Jerry working hard as well, and all of our sponsors, of course. We couldn't do it without them. Couldn't do it without Flat Creek Estate Winery, South Point Dodge. They've been great for us, as well as Laura Baker. Fantastic. Yep. One of our sponsors, so we appreciate her. Usually sponsoring Football Theory, so I love me some Laura Baker as well. So, folks, remember, stay tuned to On Texas Football, ontexasfootball.com. We got you covered with everything, all of the ins and outs when it comes to your recruiting nuggets from the weekend. And until next time, for Bobby Burton, for my man TJ Vogel, for Matthew behind the scenes, I'm Rod Babers, and hook 'em horns.
Hook 'em.